10 years ago, as some of you know, but as I've looked around the last few weeks, I don't think all of you know. Number of new people, and it's interesting how the ministry here, the Outreach Center, is developing. God has made it just that, outreach, people in need. We're grateful for that. 10 years ago, I went into St. Vincent's Hospital about this time, bleeding between my teeth, out my nose, the capillaries had all burst in my legs and had blood spots all down, polka-dotted. White count was 137,000 with acute myeloid leukemia. Not a pessimist, but honestly, I thought kind of maybe it's my time. I was 50 years old at the time. I remember Brian Jaberg, one of my prayer partners, our bass player and good friend, all of us, said, "Tom, how are you feeling about this? You usually kind of have a sense of things, and how are you feeling about this?" I said, "I don't know, Brian. I don't know." And God gave me the verses in a marvelous way in 2 Kings 20 that he would heal me and add 15 years to my life. Felt unworthy of that. Marvelous gift. Want to use every minute of that for him to the very best of my ability. The gift that he's given me, I want to do my best to live that out for him. Got to be honest, in the months and few years following, I struggled feeling guilty when I would visit cancer patients, maybe that were failing, and God was going to take them. I just would feel guilty, and I couldn't get past it, and I would go in the room, and they had lost their hair like I had, and they were skinny and on chemotherapy, and I was in the hospital with a couple of breaks. I was in the hospital for 5 months in 05. I made the choice to take chemotherapy. I wrestled with that. Might sound a little strange to some of you, but got to tell your story, and this is my story. I felt God had touched me and that he had given me his promise, and I struggled with taking chemotherapy because I thought, I shouldn't do this. And God spoke to me again from 2 Kings 20, where Hezekiah, after God's promise, was medicated with a poultice of figs. And God spoke to me from that chapter that they medicated it, and for some reason I was to go through chemo. And so I told my doctor I would go through the chemo. And I went through high-dose chemo, the strongest that they gave at that time. I don't know if they've gotten any stronger since, but that's the strongest they gave at that time. And I realized as I went through chemo why he did that. As strange as it may sound to some, I believe he wanted me to be able to connect. There's value in the process of God. If I would have jumped up out of the bed on November 21st, don't mean to make light, there are scriptural accounts of this, and we've seen some instant things in our life. So I don't mean to make light. Don't misunderstand. Wouldn't do that. That's irreverent. But if I would have jumped up out of my bed on November 21st and drove back to the church on Wednesday night when you all came to anoint me and were anointed for me, and I would have come back from the hospital bed and came in and said, "I'm healed," that would have lasted about a week, and they might have run a little article in the Tribune, and that would have been the end of it. But there's value in God's process. And for some reason I don't understand, I felt I would submit to chemotherapy, even though I believed in my heart of hearts that God had touched me. But now I know why. Because when I go into the room as a wounded healer of someone who has crossbones on the bag hanging on the IV pole, and they're skinny and frail and they're discouraged and they're down, I can take a hold of their hand with a new feeling because I've been where they are. And God works in mysterious ways. And the chemo about killed me. Coming back to church in April of that year after high-dose treatment, May of that year, I remember I collapsed on the floor and had to be taken home. But God did a marvelous thing in that he restored, not only healed me, but restored, gave Pam the verse that he would restore my youth. Long life will I satisfy you. People afterwards said, "Tom, you look younger than you did before the cancer." I don't know if that's true or not, but I know that I had my energy back. And I know that in a short time, I was back walking 5-6 miles a day, and that God had been incredibly good to me. That was an incredibly difficult experience, and you went through it with us, many of you, and we're deeply appreciative. But it was also a very valuable experience, and there's value in the process. Had God done all of that right away, or just to my liking, or just how I would have filled out my menu in prayer and say, I'll take this, I'll take this, I'll take this. Give me this and this and this. Could we have it right now? Had that all happened just that way, I never wrote this book. That by request, we've given out 8,000. I'm no author. I use horrible English and can't spell very well. But I knew I was to write my story. We had been in the ministry a lot of years, so honestly, I thought, oh, we'll give out 600-800 probably. And people will want them that we know. I never dreamed by request, not handing them out, but by request, we've given out over 8,000. There's value in the process. Trust Him in the process. And sometimes you go to ICU, and sometimes you walk in and you tremble as someone you love is there, or sometimes something comes down the pike in your home or marriage. If we stay committed to God, God has the incredible ability to turn all things for good. That's why He said, praise me in the storm. Faith praises Him when it doesn't look right. You with me? Faith praises Him when it doesn't look right. That's insane to the world. Of course it is. The scripture says that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that perish. They say, listen to those nutheads. They were in an automobile accident and they're kneeling by the road and giving the Lord thanks. I don't think the dots are connected. We know something. We know something. We know the mystery of the kingdom. Oh, there's lots of mysteries. I don't know when I'll preach on it, but I've started in my own notepad writing out some of the secrets and mysteries of the kingdom. It says there are secrets in the kingdom. And one of the powerful secrets is that if you will give God praise despite your circumstances, and you will sincerely with heartfelt thanks, give Him thanks in every situation, that is a powerful, 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 powerful thing. It pushes back the enemy. It gives you personal victory. It's not easy to do. God will meet you where you are. And maybe when some happening happens in your life, maybe you won't have the maturity and or presence of mind or just strength. You know, we're not always the same. We try to do our best for the Lord, but your best isn't always the same. Sometimes our capacities are less and we're weak. But if you will, God will meet you where you are. And maybe the starting process is, Lord, I'm having trouble with this situation. Holy Spirit, help me to be thankful despite of this. Help me to be thankful. Give me a thankful heart. God has the incredible ability to work everything for good. I'm not going to talk long today. We did extra music, but I'm very sure of what I'm to say today. 3 weeks ago, I spoke on dealing with the devil. 3 weeks ago, I spoke on strongholds. Actually, it was 4 weeks ago because I put a forgiveness message in there. 4 weeks ago, I spoke on strongholds. Then I spoke on dealing with the devil. Then I skipped a week and gave a message on forgiveness. And then I spoke on it is written. So there's been 3 messages, strongholds, dealing with the devil, it is written, that have to do with the enemy. I'm actually tagging this brief message today onto that because this is about the enemy as well. Many of you in the mentoring group have said you'd like to even call that group Special Forces. That's awesome. However, remember when the disciples leaned over to Jesus and said, hey, can we sit right next to you in the kingdom of heaven? He said, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink of the cup that I drink of? Are you able to partake in some of the things I am? You know, sometimes we can jump up and say, boy, Lord, count me in. Put me right on the front row. And He says, okay, but there's some things that go with the front row. You gonna be okay with that? But I believe many of you are sincere about that request, and we've debated about calling the mentoring group Special Forces based in Ephesians 6. We fight not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And we need people in these troubled last days that say, I want to be in the Lord's Special Forces. And I don't mean to brag on that group because there's all kinds of awesome things happening. I think there's some awesome things happening in the biker ministries. Dan, here's some more. Let's see. But anyway, I want to tell Dan publicly. I just think, and I text him often, but I thought Dan's doing a great job leading that. And various people come in and giving their testimony. So God's working in many ways, but I am very involved in the mentoring group, and so often I draw from things that come from there because I'm present there in that meeting, not able to be at everything. But I believe that when men who are leaders of their home are willing to step up and be priests of the home, and they even express the desire, I want to be called special forces for the Lord. That's an incredible thing. But I want to tell you something, special forces. One of the keys to winning victories is learning to praise Him in the storms and to give Him thanks in the storms and despite circumstances to say, Lord, it's okay. I surrender to You. I didn't see this coming. I didn't know we'd be in ICU this many weeks. I didn't know that this was going to happen. I did not see this coming around the curve and over the hill of life. I did not see it, but Lord, I believe You're still with me, even though things don't look right. A powerful thing happens when we do that. And that's a valuable, valuable truth. In chapter 8, of the book, and this is the only time in 10 years I think I've referred to things in this book, but I don't know that I've read from it. I'm not always comfortable reading from my own book, but I feel like I'm supposed to share this morning. And here's the principle. Uh-oh. There was the principle. It didn't go. But we'll reconnect it here. Help. Robbie, oh, I'm so glad to see you. Let me give you this thing. There you go. I need to just set Robbie right here and I just hand. God challenged me, and he'll have it on the wall here in a minute, statement of faith. He'll have it on the wall here in a minute. God challenged me 10 years ago to praise him in the storm and to minister during the storm. These things are incredibly powerful. In the next few minutes, won't keep you long, but the next few minutes, I want you to get this. Because if you can get a handle on the special forces, guys, if you can get a handle on this, you're going to have a new level in your life. In the hospital bed, been a minister all my life, didn't see this coming. People so good to us, praying for us, but the truth is I was too weak. Blood being so thin and platelets down to nothing. I was getting blood every other day, platelets on the opposite days. I was so weak that the bathroom in my room was about the distance from where I'm standing here to those steps. I had to put a chair halfway. I couldn't get there. I was that weak. I remember saying to Pam, leukemia just takes the life out of you. I wonder if any human being alive is this tired. And she said, what do you mean? I said, honey, I can't make a fist. She said, you can't make a fist. I said, no, I can't bend my fingers in and make a fist. My hand is so exhausted, and I feel so tired even in my limbs that I can't make a fist. During that time of weakness, God challenged me with a challenge I hadn't had before. Will you praise me in your storm, and will you minister in your storm? Because I'm still a minister, still called to the kingdom. And I remember actually in my anointing of family and friends, I had asked, Lord, don't let me drop the ball. And if you can't get that, don't worry about it. Okay. Oh. Okay, no problem. If you don't get it, just go ahead and toss it out there in that field. God's challenge to me. And I want you to get this, praise him in the storm. And I'm offering you this challenge this week. And this hasn't been an easy week. And we've been tested a little on this week. But this week, God spoke to me and said, challenge the congregation to praise him in the storm and go the next level and minister to others in the midst of your storm. Thank you. Appreciate it. I remember asking Pam to go down to the gift shop and get a bundle of postcards. I thought, well, what can I do? I'm in isolation. They have to wear masks and gloves. God said, minister during here. And I'm thinking, okay. I wasn't trying to be cute. I was just like, Lord, I get it, but it's going to be a little rough here because you have to wear a mask and gown to come into my room, and I'm in isolation, and I can't leave the room. For 31 days, I wasn't able to leave the room. And just as clear as anything, I thought, I can write. So I asked Pam to go to the gift shop and get a bundle of postcards, of 50 postcards. That was God's prompting. I'm not wanting any credit for that. But I want to say to you that the simple thing of ministering on a postcard, I could not believe how powerful it is. Do you know that 10 years have passed, and I have gone into homes of people in this congregation, and they'd say, come here, come here. I'd go over, and they'd have on the refrigerator with a magnet, they'd say, you sent me this card in the hospital. And this encouraged me so much. That ain't about me. That's about God powerfully works through the simplest of things when we choose to stay thankful. And God enabled me because of your prayers. I'm so cotton picking weak, pardon me. I'm so cotton picking weak, it took 100 people being anointed to get me to do it. You know why God had everybody come forward and they anointed everybody? Because he knew how weak I was. Some of you got more. You've got more stamina. You've got more reservoir. But I encourage you, praise him in the storm. Minister in your storm. Because 10 years later, God will still be using a little note, a line, a hug, and ministering to someone because it's a powerful thing. The Holy Spirit works so effectively when we make the decision to rise above. Would you agree with me that this is a complaining generation? We got beautiful homes, plush carpets, 2-3 vehicles, remote everything. Instant everything, any food we want right at our fingertips, and we are the whiniest bunch in the world. The Bible says in the last days, 2 Timothy 3, they will be unthankful. I don't want to be part of that group. I don't want to be part of that group. But I don't just want to say thanks for the luxuries. Thank you for the special things. Thank you for the blessings. I want to go to a level, guys, where I can say truly from my heart, thank you for this difficult hour. Thank you for this hard week. I give you praise. And Lord, I'm going to sing a song in my car all alone to you today because that's a powerful, powerful thing. And you will push back the enemy. I'm talking about something spiritual here. I'm not talking about some psychological game that you might think, oh, well, there is power in positive thinking. I'm talking about a different level. Yes, there is. Power and positive thinking, but I'm talking about another level. I'm talking about pushing back spiritual forces that want to take you down. The devil does not know what to do with it when you praise him in the storm. I used to gripe and complain about Kroger's. I despise Kroger's. Worked there 17 years, and I did not like the place, and I disliked it so bad. And what I disliked, I didn't mind the work. I was a high-energy guy and worked pretty hard, actually, and I think my supervisors would have said that. I always was a fast worker and worked hard. But at that particular season of time when I worked there, the pressures were great. We had the merchandising department in Indianapolis was very, very aggressive, and they were visiting the stores all the time and critiquing you, and you just were under pressure to perform all the time. Inspections all the time. It was a difficult time, and I despise Kroger so bad that we went on vacation. I wouldn't go into a Kroger store. I didn't want to see a Kroger sign. If Pam, I'm serious. If Pam said we need to pick up a few things, I did not want to go to Kroger's because I didn't want to see the stinking sign. All the while, I was praying and saying, Lord, take me into the ministry. Take me into the ministry. Take me into the ministry. And finally, God spoke to me in a very strong way and said, until you're thankful for what I've given you, you're not going anywhere. Oops. Until you're thankful for what I've given you, you're not going anywhere. And I repented because that's what we need to start with. And I said, Lord, this ain't right. And I repented and I started getting up in the morning and giving thanks for the job God had given me. And you know what? Thanksgiving changes your mindset. As I gave thanks, I started realizing all I actually had and all he had actually given me. And as I would pray, I would think of more things and think of more things. And you know, within 2-3 weeks' time, my whole mindset had changed about that stuff. And then God began challenging me to minister in the place I hate. Because see, I wanted to get a pulpit of my own, have my own church. No. you bloom where you're planted. You minister where you are, son. And I begin saying, Lord, give me opportunities. And I don't mean this in a boastful way, but within a year and a half's time, the manager came there. When he heard I was leaving to take a church, he said, I hate losing you, because he said, you've become the store counselor. You just don't get paid for it. Because God began drawing people. Those same people were there all along, but my mindset changed. And I started saying, Lord, help me bloom where I'm planted. This isn't a garden I'd have picked, but thank you for it. And I appreciate it, and use me here. And God started bringing troubled people from the deli and from the meat department, from here and from here and from here. And I began to minister, and God to begin to use me. And guess who I met during that time and was instrumental in helping him spiritually? Howard Franz. He's been with us ever since. I would have never dreamed years ago when we were running young guys at Kroger's that we'd be together as the director and assistant of an outreach ministry. God does powerful things when we start thinking right. You with me? And we get rid of the complaining and we start giving thanks. And then to go that next level and minister during the storm. It's a powerful, powerful thing. It's not a gimmick. It's not some psychological way to trick your mind. No, we're talking about another level. We're talking about something that pushes the enemy forces back and allows the Holy Spirit to work through you in a marvelous way. I saw God use me at that store in an incredible way. And the day I quit Kroger's and went full-time into the ministry vocationally, I actually walked out to my car and sat there in silence for a while, and I put my head on the steering wheel and I cried. Because I knew that God had taught me so much, and that was my boot camp. And that he had led people to the Lord. Bob Moore, who's gone to Florida, who attend here. Bob became a Christian during that time. I started a Bible study in my home, and people started coming from work. But it was rooted in my attitude getting turned around and recognizing this principle. I think your health will improve. Start giving thanks. I believe your health. I believe your body responds to this stuff. Don't beat up on yourself. Don't nudge your spouse and say, he's talking to you. This isn't an easy world to live in. This culture breeds negativity. You with me? It's just, you know, from the media all the way through, it's just heaving out ugly stuff all the time. You get caught in that. So you need to come in Sunday morning, have somebody jar you loose a little bit. So don't be condemned or offended. Just say, you know what, you're right. I did the same thing. I hate that stinking place. We all go there. We're all made of the same stuff. We're made out of the dirt we walk on. But God can breathe into that dirt the breath of life like he did Adam. And you can become vibrant for God right in the midst of a cursed world. Amen? Right in the midst of a cursed world. Right in the middle of difficulty. And I'm challenging you to go to a new level and praise him in the storm. And more than that, minister during the storm. During my first week in the hospital, I wrote a letter to my congregation, and I asked my prayer partner at that time, Brian Jaber, to read it to them. It is as follows. I remember writing this, and Brian, are you in here? I remember, Brian, you probably remember reading it. Dear beloved church family, I love you more than I ever have. Did you know that suffering times can deepen you? Suffering times can deepen you. Now, I'm not going to run off on this, or I'd keep you here till 2:30. There are certain doctrines that get under my skin, and you've probably noticed it. I'm pretty transparent. The reason it gets under my skin when a lot of these new doctrines are all about blessing and favor, blessing and favor, blessing and favor, is that suffering is what develops you. And I believe that a trick of the enemy in a lot of our movements, that's why I get worked up. It's not about doctrine. It's not about wanting to argue. It goes deeper than that with me. And if you're assessing me that way, look at it differently. It's deeper than that. We need closeness and intimacy with God, and development comes from suffering. Development comes from hard times and learning to persevere. And so when well-meaning people come along and say, it's just glory, glory, blessing, 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 that just irritates the life out of me. I'm thinking, that's true. There's lots of favor and blessing. Oh my goodness, have I had a blessed life. But it's unbalanced. And the enemy doesn't want you to grow. The enemy does not want you to grow. So if you buy into thinking that, oh, I'm never supposed to suffer in any way, I'm never supposed to have any hardship, it's all blessing and favor, you're going to bypass the crosses in life that will develop you. Does that make sense? I think that makes all kinds of sense. I love you more than I ever have. God has stretched me more this last week than I ever dreamed I could be stretched. This has been an incredible sorrow, but an incredible blessing at the same time. Some of your greatest blessings will be painful. Don't you dare let this make you question God or His faithfulness. A righteous man's steps are ordered of the Lord, even though they go through uncharted territory. Pam is a wonderful nurse. I have had some incredible visits from Jesus. And I'm going to stop there for a second. Pam never left my side. Slept in the room. She was a wonderful nurse. Stick by your spouse. Stick by him. There's going to be some hard times. And I know sometimes circumstances happen in a way, and I don't want to be insensitive to anyone. And sometimes there's impossible situations. I understand that. So don't let that be a condemning thing. But stick by each other. I've had some incredible visits from Jesus. He's the same God He has been on my 5-mile river walks. Something like this, a stunning shock like this, makes you reach way down inside of yourself and take a hold of all the truths you've preached. And guess what? It's all true and it works. Everywhere I've been, every test I've had, every new room I've fearfully entered for treatments, I could see God went before me. I have so many stories to tell you in future sermons if you don't mind listening to a skinny, bald guy. If someone asks you how I am, yes, I'm deathly sick. But if someone asks you how I really am, tell them that I've never loved Jesus more. I've never felt Him closer. And Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and He is what He says He is. I love you with all my heart, your pastor and friend, Tom. Felt God wanted me to read that. Not real comfortable reading my own book to you. On the PS I have, one of the greatest honors I had in my life was Thanksgiving evening when Tommy, Scott, Alan, and Kevin all laid hands and anointed and prayed for me. To be totally honest, that was worth the whole experience. All the prayers for our family, and to see 4 sons gathered around my bed with masks on and pray for me. I thought, Lord, how can you be more blessed than that? I want to go out in a blaze of glory, folks. And if I was to go then, I was to go then. But I thought, even if I go then, to have my 4 sons praying for me and to know that they know how to do that is a powerful thing. Stay with me. Faith works. As I said in my letter, this was an incredible stretch for me. Though I'd lived through a number of difficulties, addictions in the family, near death of sons, nervous breakdown, trials and pressures of ministry, this experience was unique. This was a deeper time of despair I'd ever faced. God was calling my name as I preached in the sermon, Day of Visitation. Did you know that in suffering times, God will call your name? Kathy, I know you know that. In some of the deepest, darkest times is when God will call your name. And you know that He's talking to your heart. I don't want to miss those times. I felt that God was calling me to praise Him during this time of storm. He was saying, Tom, give me praise in the midst of this situation, will you? Will you even stretch further and minister during this situation? While pondering this question, a popular gospel song began to play on our tape recorder. And I will always thank God for this song by Casting Crowns. I will praise you in the storm. I will lift my hands, for you are who you are no matter where I am. And every tear I cried, you hold in your hand. You never left my side, and though my heart is torn, I'll praise you in the storm. Covered with blood spots in the midst of chemotherapy treatments, I was feeling as rough as I ever had. But as Pam and I listened to this song alone in the room, God, the Holy Spirit, began to fill the room. Within seconds, we felt His presence more intensely than I think I've ever experienced. And as the vocalist sang, "And I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am," God's presence was so powerful that I spontaneously raised my hands and began to praise. Tears were running down my face as I began to praise God amidst my sobbing. Skip a little bit. The moments passed as the song concluded. My hands were raised, but my sobbing wouldn't cease. I glanced over and saw that my wife was giving God praise in exactly the same way. All we can say that something unique happened in our hospital room that day that neither one of us can explain. I don't know if God reached out His healing hand and touched me during that glorious experience. I don't know. Perhaps He did. Perhaps He didn't. I don't know when it was. What I do know is that I had a bone marrow test following that morning and that showed unusual and exciting results. God works in mysterious ways, His wonders to perform. And I learned that the greatest joys come from praising Him during the storms of life. I know this may sound irrational to some people, but God's mysteries make perfect sense. Yes, we praise Him for His faithfulness. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. As a result of that exceptional, stay with me. I know I'm reading a little bit more than I normally would. As a result of the exceptional praise experience in my hospital room and wanting to lead by example, I felt God prompting me to send another message to my congregation. Propped up in my hospital bed, I recorded the story of my praise experience on audio tape, encouraging the congregation to open their hearts to the process of spiritual stretching and challenge them to climb to a new level. The theme of my message was praise God in the midst of the storm. Our assistant pastor agreed to play the tape during our Sunday morning service and then have Brandon Rao, Brian's brother, the young man who introduced me to the song Praise You to the Storms, sing it to the congregation. Some of you will remember this. I asked that they stand while the song was sung. I was in the hospital. They were at the church. I asked that they stand while the song was sung and praise God for the storms in their life. The result was overwhelming. I was told by numerous people that the entire congregation stood to its feet and with raised hands and tears-filled eyes, they praised the Lord for the storm. Some of this is a little personal, but there were people, accounts of people who had never showed any emotion that during this time began to give praise to God. A dear woman who recently had walked through dark valleys and had lost her son begin to praise at a new level and experience the victory of the Lord. Some of it's a little personal. I'll not go any further with that. Those books are back there free if you're interested. You got the point already. There's power in praise. This isn't about me. This isn't about, let me read some from my book and see what happened with us. No. Let me remind you that when I was anointed, by request, I had requested to be anointed. You know what my first request was? It wasn't that I be healed. It was that I wouldn't drop the ball. That was my biggest fear. I said, "Lord, I'm scared. I know the condition I'm in. I'm bleeding between my teeth. I'm blood dripping out my nose." When they got together to pray for me, I went in the bathroom to the church and cleaned off my teeth because I didn't want to gross everybody out and they see blood all over my teeth. I knew I was in trouble, and I looked after enough patients over the year to know I was in trouble. And I told them, I said, "I have three requests. The first one is that I not drop the ball. Do you know it's okay to be honest with the Lord?" I'd been through a lot of things in my life, lots of things. had fearful things, had my life threatened, but I don't know why. But that experience, that shook me. Didn't expect that, didn't see that coming. So my prayer was, "Lord, don't let me drop the ball. God will meet you where you are." My second request was that He would take away my fear because I'd been around cancer. I was familiar with it. As a minister, more familiar than most, had been at lots of bedsides, and I had fear of what will I go through, And the third request was that if God so desired, that he would touch me. And I need to say to you, to his glory, that he gave me all three of those requests. But I always want to seek first the kingdom. So I'm saying that part of my English to say I ain't nobody. I'd like to say, oh, I was a great man of faith. And when I first got the news, I'm like, whoa, Lord help me. How do I deal with this? I wasn't ready for this. But I want to tell you that God will meet you where you are in your hour of despair, but you do have a choice. You can become angry and bitter about the circumstances of life, and that's a route a lot of people take. Why'd this happen? I'll not receive this. I can't believe this happened. And that will close off your heart to what God wants to do. But if you will open your heart and say, Lord, I accept this. I don't understand it. I give it to you, but I give you praise. And Lord, give me somebody to minister to. I had the opportunity after the 31 days of isolation to take my IV pole and go to some other rooms on the cancer floor, on the sixth floor of St. Vincent's, and pray with people. What a marvelous time. I felt the power of the Spirit more then than I ever have. And I've prayed with hundreds of people over the years. But to take my IV pole and to be able to go in their room as a patient, there was a connection. And I realized that in your hour of weakness, God will use you. Minister during your storm. Minister during your storm. God will use difficult times and setbacks in your life to incredible good and for his glory. I'm done. I'll leave these on the wall. When you choose to praise him in the storm and minister in the storm, you push back the enemy. Personal healing comes. Whether God heals you here or in heaven, that's between you and him. He healed me here. I'm not talking so much here about physical healing, even though that can be a component for sure. I experienced that. But when you're going through that hard time and you give God praise, there's a healing that comes to the inside of you. And it may very well heal the outside. But there'll be a healing that will come to you as opposed to that cut-off bitterness of why this isn't fair. Life's dealt me a bad hand, and there's a root of bitterness. It isn't that God doesn't love you. He does love you. He loves you just as much in that state as he does when you're praising him, but he can't work through you. He can't be part of that. When I choose to be bitter and angry at the circumstances of life, and I say that with sensitivity because many of you have been through painful things, but when I choose to be bitter and angry about the circumstances of life, and I make that choice, which is certainly a choice I can make, it closes off what God wants to do because he can't be part of that. So when we praise him and we minister in our storm, the devil is pushed back, personal healing comes. And I believe from experience, I can say with confidence, a double portion is given to those that you minister to. When you minister out of your own lack and hurt and pain, there is an extra blessing on that for others, even if it's a postcard. They'll say, man, that postcard was so meaningful. There's a double portion because you did it out of a heart of hurting yourself. You were sacrificial. You put aside your feelings. And you ministered to them. And when we do that, there's a double portion. I need to close. But I feel that was for you this morning. If some of you haven't taken that book, feel free. There's lots of them in the back. It's not so much a book about cancer. It's about a book of dealing with hardship as a Christian. And there's some principles in there I think would be helpful to you. God gave me. And all I ask is, after you've read it, pass it on to somebody else that's going through a hard time. Let's stand together. Thank you, Lord, for this time together. Thank you for the music and the encouragement that came. I personally was encouraged in the music today. And thank you for being with us this week in a difficult week of losses and some heartaches and difficulties. May we grab onto this principle. May it be rooted deep within us. Be with us as we go from this place. May your blessing be on us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.